Right, morning everyone. Morning. So we're going to open the Bible together and look at a really famous passage. But before we get onto that, over the last few weeks, as you know, we've been in our Advent series, and we've been exploring how Christmas carols tell the story of the coming of Jesus, bringing hope and bringing love and salvation into a world that often feels overshadowed by fear, uncertainty, and longing. And that's where many of us find ourselves this Christmas. A season that's supposed to be joyful, peaceful, and warm can often bring its own ache. And maybe you feel the loneliness of Christmas more sharply this year. Maybe the pressures of life don't take a holiday. Even on our best days, we sense a gap between the world as it is and the world as it should be. And this morning, we're going to look at the story of the shepherds in Luke's gospel. So if you've got your Bibles, can you get them ready? There are some Bibles on the table at the back, if not your phones. But before we read, the shepherds that lived in that gap too, they were the forgotten, they were the overlooked, the underqualified, they were the low of society. No one really wanted to be a shepherd. They were shunned. And they were working the night shift, which is even worse. But into that darkness, something unexpected breaks in. Jesus was born, and he was born to save. So let's follow in Luke 2, and we're going to read from verses 8 to 20. I think the words will appear also behind me on the screen. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told them. So today's Christmas carol is "Good Christian Friends Rejoice," and we're going to sing it after this. And it captures the message that Jesus was born to save beautifully. It's a carol that's bursting with joy, and it's bursting with gospel truth. And one of the verses says, "Now ye hear of endless bliss, Jesus Christ was born for this. Christ was born to save." And we sing this carol because it echoes the very words of Luke 2. The angel's announcement, the shepherd's joy, and the breathtaking proclamation that heaven's door has been opened. And the carol invites us to do what the shepherds did, to rejoice with heart and with soul and with voice, because salvation has come near. But before the shepherds ever sought God, God sought them. And the message that they hear is the message that can transform us this Christmas. A Saviour has been born to you. Now, if you've heard this news before, I want to remind you afresh, while it's still the best news that you'll ever hear. And my aim is to show you, if you've not heard this, this is the best news that you'll ever hear, and why choosing Jesus is the best choice in life, while every other choice is second best. Now, the carol is composed of three verses. And so, like the carol, we're going to look at this story in three parts. The first part is the message of salvation, that God comes close to us. God comes to rescue us. The second part is the sign of salvation, which is God comes close to us. And the final part is the response to salvation, that God calls us to receive him. So let's look at the message of salvation. God comes to rescue us. So in that quiet darkness of that shepherd's field comes a dazzling announcement. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Saviour has been born to you. So Christianity begins with news. Not rules, not advice, not self-help strategies. It's not try harder or do better. It's news, something that God has done for you. A Saviour has been born. Someone has come to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. It's a bit like a search and rescue team that's deployed to find someone lost in the mountains. Now imagine yourself climbing a mountain and you get stuck in an avalanche, a terrifying avalanche. And you can't get away, so you get in the best possible position to get covered but keep safe. But then you're trapped. You're disorientated. Maybe you're injured, but you're out of options. You don't need a motivational speech from a helicopter. You need someone who knows the terrain. Someone who is equipped to reach you. Someone strong enough to carry you out. And that's what God does in Christ. He doesn't stand at a distance, giving instructions. He comes for us. He enters the darkness as himself. He is the rescuer we cannot live without. Now, deep down, we know we can't fix ourselves. We know there's a gap that's always missing in our hearts. So God does what we cannot. He comes to rescue us. And we read in verse 11, it says, the message is for all people, which means it's personally for you. Heaven sends the announcement to shepherds to show that no one is too far, no one is too broken, no one is too doubting, too unimportant, too sinful to receive God's rescue. Christmas is God saying, I came for you. Now, Jesus lived the perfect life none of us have lived. He died the death our sins deserved. And he rose in victory so we can be forgiven, we can be free, and we can be reconciled back to God. And that's why the carol sings, Jesus Christ was born for this. Christ was born to save. Because he didn't come merely to improve your life. He came to rescue your life. Now, whatever choices you make in life, if you haven't made the choice to choose Jesus, you are choosing second best. So let's look at the second part, which is the sign of salvation, that God comes close to us. If you ever heard survivors describe a real rescue, they often say that the most powerful moment isn't when they finally reach safety. It's when they hear the rescuer calling their name in the darkness. That's the moment that they know that they've been found, that they're not alone anymore, that help is here. And the sign given to the shepherds works exactly like that. A baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It wasn't what they expected, but it was unmistakably God drawing near. So why is this the sign? And if Jesus is a king, wouldn't a throne have been more fitting? Or a palace or something shiny and impressive? but instead it's a feeding trough, a place animals eat out of, a place that smells of hay and of dirt. But the manger shows God's humility. Heaven came down so the overlooked, the underqualified, could approach without fear. You see, God doesn't save us from afar. He steps into the cold, dark of our lives. He steps into the ache in our lives. He comes close enough to touch, close enough to know, close enough to carry. And just as a rescuer reaches the one who cannot reach them, Jesus comes right into the place where we are. Now, Jesus' humility at birth also points to his humility at death, because he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the manger is the first step on the road to the cross. And again, the carol rings true. It says he has opened heaven's door and we are blessed forevermore. And that's why Jesus is the best choice of your life. Every other path will require you to earn your worth, to perform or to achieve. Only Jesus says you are loved before you perform. You are forgiven because I came. You are welcome because I paid the price. Every other choice in life says, do more, try harder. But Jesus says, it is finished. So the final part, which is the response to salvation, that God calls us to receive him. In a rescue situation, one thing still remains. A rescuer can climb the cliff, can brave the storm and find the lost person. But the one who is rescued must still take the rescuer's hand. They don't earn the rescue, they simply receive it. And the shepherds give us that picture. When they hear the news, they don't stay where they are, they go, they respond. They receive the Saviour who has come for them. They become worshippers because joy naturally leads to praise. The shepherds respond, and so must we. Because your response matters. Listening is not enough. Admiring Jesus is not enough. Feeling inspired by Jesus is not enough. Now, God demands nothing, but we accept who he is and who we are and who he is therefore to be calling the shots in our lives. We cannot receive forgiveness into our hands if we keep God at arm's length. So this message is for you. And it invites you to respond. Now, Jesus has done everything necessary to save you. The descending, the pursuing, the rescuing. But he won't force himself on you. He invites you to take his hand, to trust him, to follow him, to let him lead you out of the darkness and into life. That Jesus did come into this world to save you, to forgive your past, to restore your relationship with God, to give you peace and purpose, to give you hope and eternal life. And these are all gifts that Jesus wants to give to you. But like any gift, we have to receive him. So how do we do that? Well, we can respond like the shepherds. We can come to him, we can approach him, we can tell him honestly about our past and we can ask for his forgiveness. We can believe in him, we can trust that he is who he says he is and that he truly came to save us. And then we can receive him, we can turn from our sin and we can trust him with our lives. Now, choosing to take Jesus by the hand as our rescuer is the best choice you will ever make. And if you haven't made that choice, it doesn't matter how well your life is going, how much money you have, how happy you are, or how successful you've been, you are still living in the second best option for your life. Every other choice, no matter how good it seems, cannot give you purpose. It cannot give you hope, or it cannot satisfy what you truly need. Now, we can chase success, we can chase relationships, we can chase comfort, status, or control. But none of these things can quiet the ache inside of us. Because we weren't made to merely survive life. We were made to know God, to love Him, and to enjoy a relationship with Him. And that's why every other pursuit eventually runs out of strength. Every other rescuer stops short. Only Jesus can reach the depths of what we really need. He alone can lift us out of the darkness into life. And so he invites you to take his hand, not to earn salvation, not to prove yourself worthy, but simply receive the relationship you were made for. Now, if that's you, and you want to do that, if you want to stop trying to rescue yourself and ask Jesus to rescue you instead, then the simplest step is to pray, to speak to God from your heart and ask him to do what only he can do. You don't need perfect words. You just need an open heart. And it doesn't have to be right now. It can be later. When you get a quiet moment on your own, you can pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I need you. I cannot rescue myself. Thank you for coming for me, for dying for me, and for offering me forgiveness and new life. Today I want to take your hand. Save me and bring me into the relationship with God that I was made for. Make me yours. Amen. And if you're a Christian here this morning, today is a perfect opportunity to thank Jesus for coming to rescue you. So I want to invite you to pray with me as well. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have already rescued me. Thank you that you sought me when I was far from you and brought me into your family. Help me to rest again in your grace, to trust you more deeply, and to walk closely with you each day. Remind me that knowing you is better than anything this world can offer. Renew my love, refresh my hope, and help me share your rescue with others. Amen.